When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Don't Nearly View system, Diolis. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
Welcome to the Tennis Podcast. My name is Craig Cairns and I am joined by Chris Awelamo. How are you doing, Chris?
Morning. Yeah, I'm good, mate. Had a kind of hard night with the little man. You know, he kept me up, got up at 2 a.m, 3 a.m, 4 a.m. And then obviously I got up being the gentleman that I am, letting the missus sleep in as she's working from 9. So I got up at 7:30 with him, being baby TV from then on.
You've just said hello in such a jolly way. You said to me before we started that you were you weren't really at it because you'd had a poor night's sleep, and now you're putting on this act that you're all kind of jolly.
I wouldn't say it's an act. I'm so excited about going in and having a nap when he has a nap about 10:30 a.m. So I'm looking forward to it, mate. I'm excited. You know what I mean?
I'm doing this podcast. Ready. You're more excited about your nap than doing this podcast. thank you, Chris. So we've got a few things to get through today. The first of which is one of your old clubs, where it all started for you, I think, and that's St Mirren. We kind of touched on their game last week, but not so much their performance. I think we just ended up talking about the dodgy penalty decisions. But since then, they've gone to Celtic Park and they've won. They lost last night, but I watched parts of it, and they put up a decent showing considering they went down to 10 men. They lost their goalkeeper, who's been one of their star performers, fairly early in the game, or in the first half anyway. But so... You managed to see a bit of them last week. How impressed have you been with the job Jim Goodwin has been doing overall?
Well, I've got to say I've been very impressed with the job that Jim Goodwin's been doing, and I think he's speaking a lot of sense, and it's something that I guess we spoke about and we've touched on, that clubs or the powers that be, they don't just pull the trigger too quickly. And I think Jim's come out and says, you know, the club have shown some common sense, not just to change things. They know the work that he's putting in behind the scenes. And he said to them, he says, you know what, once I get my full squad back, you know, from the COVID issues that they had, he says that we can compete. And that's exactly what they've done. And to go on the run that they have, very unlucky last night, I actually put them down to win last night, you know, because it was my turn to do the pundits' results. All right. And I put St Mirren down to win 2-1 last night, Celtic to win 3-0, and I said Aberdeen Livingston to be 1-1. Livingston on fire, but anyway, St Mirren, he's broke record after record, you know, the I think was it over 30 years or something, the result with Celtic
beat Celtic. Yeah, he was saying that nobody in his starting lineup was born the last time they had won Celtic Park.
It just shows you, and you know what, again, he fires home about the fans aren't there to see it. So what's their target? I think now they've came through that kind of dodgy period, and he says, was it, we're 10 games away from the split. I think it's run about that. He wants to be in the top six. Can they go and do that? Yes, they can. I think the clubs, they've got momentum. I think they'll be disappointed with the defeat against Hibs last night, but like you say, losing the goalkeeper early on, he can put a positive spin on it. He says, look, we're still competitive. We still went and got the goal after we did what we did. And I just thought the momentum was with them after the results against Dundee United and Celtic. But again, the test comes now for that group of players after they've experienced defeat? Can they get back to winning ways? But you look at Jim Goodwin, you know, I said to you, I know him, I've done my A license with him, he's kicked on massively. He's a very influential person, as he's got a great character. He's got a great way he manages his players. You know, I think he's very honest, very passionate as well. But I think that's the aim. I think if they fall short of top six, I think it'll be a disappointing season for Jim, where they are now. You understand? So don't fall away. Make sure that he's a fantastic motivator as well as coach. So they are in the position that they're in at the minute. Can they just kick on? Can they keep putting points on the board? Can they keep getting those wins? And I just feel that he's gave the group of players that belief to do exactly that, Craig.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there's one place left in the top six, and I think St Mirren are looking like you say, the team with the momentum behind them, because Dundee United are there or thereabouts as well, as are Kilmarnock. Kilmarnock have just changed the manager. We'll come on to them in a wee bit. But Dundee United seem to be heading the other way from St Mirren. But and last night, the game last night, who knows how that game turns out if Anik doesn't get sent off.
Let me get this. I'm looking at it now. So they've got two games in hand, haven't they? So are they games with Motherwell and Hamilton, is it?
One of them's definitely Motherwell, because that was one of the ones that was postponed and then 3-0 and then overturned. Was the other one Kilmarnock, Motherwell, and then St Mirren, Hamilton? I think you might be right. I think you might be right.
So I'm looking at that now. You know what? With the form that they're in, two games in hand. Let's say two games in hand with Rangers anyway. That's top of the table, 29 points. You know what? They can't really catch Livingston for the form and the run that they're on, even if they won the two games in hand. But I think you're right. It just puts that little bit of distance between them and Dundee United, them and St Johnstone.
St Johnstone another could come good, because I think the consensus about St Johnstone is that they've been a little bit better than their league position would suggest. And I know that the league table doesn't lie in all that, but I mean, they are a team you would think that would be capable of putting a run of results together and maybe putting pressure on that top six spot as well. I think
we touched on that last week, didn't we? We touched on that, because the cup final, it gives an extra motivation to the group of players. But again, there's talk that might be put back to the following campaign, like they did this year. But again, I don't feel that they've warranted. I feel that the performances have warranted more points than what St Johnstone are on. You know, with the creative players that they've got, the chances that they've missed. You know, so a lot. A bit indifferent as well, but they need to kind of get back to winning ways as well.
Yeah, the difference for them was it at the weekend there. Melamed was back up front with Kane, and he's looking quite good. The Israeli they brought in, and he's taken a few weeks to kind of get up to speed. So I don't know if it was two assists and a goal he got, but he was definitely involved in at least a couple of the goals. And he could be the kind of missing piece that they've been looking for. It'll be interesting to see how he does between now and the end of the season. But yeah, we're kind of still on St Mirren at the moment. I wanted to kind of stick with Goodwin a wee bit. I mean, I've long been a fan of Goodwin. I liked the job he did at Alloa, but then when he kept them in the division as a part-time, in the Championship as a part-time club, but then other people that know more about Alloa told me that it wasn't really that impressive. But since he's gone to St Mirren, you're right, he's really kind of... He's really impressed. He says the right things. There was an interview earlier in the season when they were having a really poor run, and I think it was with the club TV, and it was this really honest interview where he basically admitted to the fans that he had been getting it wrong up until that point of the season. He also mentioned that the COVID disruptions that they had, but since then he brought in Jake Doyle-Hayes. He changed the way that they played. He changed the setup of the team, and they've just been excellent since. I know they've had a couple of dips. That very disappointing performance in the League Cup final, semi final, when it really mattered. But he seems to have he's really clicked on something now, and he made good signings at the start of the season in defence. He's added to the midfield well. He's brought in players from Ireland who have developed well under him, and now he seems to be trying to sort out the attack. And he just seems to be doing a very good job.
Yeah, well, before a ball was kicked, recruitment's a very important thing. Recruitment for me is probably comes second to going out there and getting the result. Obviously, the result is the priority. Recruitment comes straight after that, and I think he has recruited well, even before a ball was kicked. You know, I think obviously bringing in the goalkeeper, I think four of the back five, you know, defenders that they have, you know, were brought in. And again, it's a big thing for a manager to come out and say, you know what, maybe I've got it wrong. I've got it wrong, because it's very easy for a club just to pull the trigger. But from what I'm hearing, and from what I know, and from what I'm reading as well, that he has a good relationship with the powers that be there. He's talking with them all. They know exactly what he's doing. And I think it was a 6 defeats on the bounce, I think, that kind of really bad period that they were going through. So as a manager, it is very difficult. You've got to change something. You understand? You've got to bring in someone that can bring in players that can not only just give you a little bit more quality and depth, but improve the squad. You know, and he's done exactly that. And like you say, the results, I've said, that's what he's done. You know, I think the players have come in, he's got his full squad back, which he was saying, look, just give me time. When everyone comes back, we can be competitive. And I think that's exactly what he's done. But like I said, I feel Jim himself will feel disappointed if they're not in the top half when they split, because it is all in their hands. And that's something that he'll be saying to his players. I think they're allowed a little blip. I think they've got room for a little error, one or two games. But I don't know more than that. But just get back to winning ways after that defeat with Hibs last night and kick on. But like you say, it's all in their hands, which, you know what, as a player, you'd rather it be that way, for sure.
Yeah, and they've had many managers in previous years. They've
well, that's another
quite
thing
few,
as well.
Yeah.
You touched on, isn't it? You know, the kind of that.
They would have kept Jack Ross. Jack Ross left, but they would have kept him. But other than that, they've sacked quite a lot of managers in recent years. Yeah, since 2013.
Yeah, so the club needs stability in itself, and I think that's something that Jim will bring. You know, the longer that he's there, you know, with the philosophy that he's got, you know, it'll build. It'll put good foundations in for the club to actually then be a regular. A competitor for that top six, and then can he build, recruit even better players and just keep looking up, you know, because you compare them to like what Tommy Wright done at St Johnson. You know, they were getting into Europe, they were finishing top six, it was becoming that must be the kind of target, that must be the aim. And you know, we've spoke about bridging that gap with the top two, you know, and even the likes of Aberdeen and Hibs, they are a long way away from that, but that is the aim. So clubs like St Mirren, it should be regular getting into the top six, and then, you know what, you just never know, keep kind of moving upwards, but it's definitely heading in the right way at the minute.
It definitely is. And from one club who stuck by their manager during a tough spell to another who has recently let theirs go, and that's Kilmarnock. Now, Alex Dyer, he left Kilmarnock by mutual consent after a 3-2 defeat to St Johnstone last week. They were 2-0 up in that game. It was a little bit of a capitulation, and that spelled the end for him. Now, it was someone you interviewed at the start of the season for your Black Lives Matter podcast for the... No, sorry. Black History Month, very different. Yep. The Black History Month podcast for the BBC. It was always going to be a tough gig for him following so soon after Steve Clarke, although he was a big part of the Steve Clarke success. Do you have a bit of sympathy for him, though, given, I mean, they're still in a relatively decent position in the league?
I do. You know, he knows himself that it's a result business, and as well as... When we interviewed him, as well as they were doing, there was a few kind of controversy about the breaches and things. That was all kind of going on. He spoke very well. It's a result business, and that's something that he touched on himself, Craig. You know, I think that's why he's sitting thinking, well, what else can I do? The result against St Johnstone, which kind of spelled the end, they were on top, they'd scored their goals, and it's about managing games. So the players do really have to take a lot of responsibility there. I think earlier in the season, I think they got a good result there. You know, I think it was a draw.
Kibamba roughed up Julian. It was another game with Julian getting roughed up by a big striker. Yeah, it's only happened a couple of times, right enough. It just seems to get highlighted. It just always seems to be on the telly when it happens for Julian.
Yeah. So, but it's a result business. And like you say, if it's mutual consent, you know, he's walked away. And it is a very kind of... It's hard steps to kind of follow when Steve Clarke and himself, the success that they had... but again, I think the players really do have to take responsibility. It's quite interesting what we are talking about, the remit of the manager and what the remit of the Kilmarnock manager or the next manager is going to be. You know, I think Tommy Wright's in the mix, you know, Robinson as well, because these are coaches that not only improve the players individually, but also they bring through young players as well. You know, it's all about can they... And it's quite disappointing that well, I say disappointing, but it's the way of football now that they have to bring through a talent that's going to, it's an investment that they sell on, and that then comes back into the club to recruit. I know that's the way that football works, the money in football. So those two managers, I guess, would be a perfect fit. They know what the Premiership is all about. Again, they're inheriting a club with a good squad that has some great individuals, that has that, I guess, the potential when coached and managed and the players improved that can go and be competitive in the Premiership. So it's I'm disappointed for Alex, you know, but again, if it's mutual consent, they've had that conversation, right? You know what? If I don't get the result against St Johnstone, right, I know that I've got to kind of walk away and move on. And it's, you don't want to see any manager. You want to see the manager persist, but then there's got to be a clear plan, transparent plan. The players, the foundations, the club's getting better. They're looking up rather than looking behind, and that's where I guess the decision was made, because they're in a bit of a kind of free fall at the minute. Yeah. They just need to kind of stop the rut, and we thought it was going to be against St Johnstone, and it wasn't to be.
And with all the uncertainty, it's a season where nobody wants to go down, and nobody wants to go down in the best of times, obviously. But I think especially this season, clubs really want to avoid it. And Kilmarnock are a side that have been in the top division for over three decades now or something like that. And you can see why they would maybe be a wee bit worried in the with the form and how tight it is down there. And the two people that you mentioned as well, I mean, I know it can be sometimes a little bit of a mug's game trying to guess who's going to be the next manager of a club. Sometimes they appoint an obvious club legend or something like that. Sometimes, I mean, Graham Alexander, when Stephen Robinson left, the next day nobody was saying Graham Alexander's name for Motherwell, were they? So sometimes it can just come out of nowhere, the who gets appointed.
Always.
But you're right, Tommy Wright potentially has been waiting around for a Scottish Premiership club to become available. And he, apparently when he first left St Johnstone, there was this 18-month agreement that he wouldn't take another Scottish Premiership club, and we're past that. So it could be that that does seem like a bit of an obvious fit, because like you say, he's got experience of recruiting well, of improving players, he ripped it up and started again with St Johnstone at one point and did well as well. He's won a cup. What one question I wanted to ask though, actually, was, now Kilmarnock have their plastic pitch. Is this something that would ever put a manager off taking a job?
I wouldn't think so, because I think we understand why these artificial pitches were brought in, you know, because it is the revenue. But again, you think, you don't want games getting called off. It was actually, you know, and again, I believe that they rent these pitches out as well.
Some
don't
of them
they,
do, yeah. Actually,
so that brings in massive revenue. But again,
and you can train climate, on them and things like that as well, yeah, rather
exactly,
than having a separate.
It's just, it doesn't really, it would have killed me though, Craig, because I wasn't allowed to train on plastic pitches. You know, okay. That was something after my first operation.
Is that to do with your insurance? Is that how that works?
No, to do with my knees. My knees would flare up and I wouldn't be able to. So all the clubs that I was at, when the weather was that bad that they trained in the dome, I would always be just sent to the gym. You know, and I'd do my fitness work and that there. I was never, yeah, and even the manager, if I will say, at Burnley, well, I was one of the main starters. Brian Laws would actually make sure that they trained on grass the day before a match, just because I would be starting and we could work on certain things. But you know, but I don't think it would change a manager. I think managers, they know exactly what the plastic pitches are all about. Look at Livingston, you know, they're flying. You know, Tommy Wright, Robinson. I don't think it would change too much with the quality of these surfaces as well. Now they are very, very good, very different to what they were like back in the day. I think it's going to be a very interesting appointment. You know, but I think it's going to be, they're going to have a lot of CVs in, because it's a fantastic job as well. Great club. Got good foundations there as well. I think, you know, the infrastructure, good young players coming through. And you know what? Not in a bad position. So again, it's just about looking up, getting that win, getting points on the board and just staying in the league this season.
Yeah, I asked that because I'm sure years ago when I asked about the insurance, sorry, because I'm sure I heard something years ago and I never actually got it confirmed that Stephen McLean, when he played for St Johnstone, he never used to play on plastic pitches because his insurance didn't cover it or something like that. But I don't know, maybe it was just bollocks.
Well, I'd be surprised that it would be, maybe it was his private insurance,
right.
You know, understand, because, but like you say, Stephen, like myself, we had a lot of operations, if it's ankles, if it's knees, and it does flare up after that. So if some, and Stephen, you got to remember, he didn't train or every day either. He would just come out the day before, 2 days before, do a little bit, but he managed it very, very well.
Right.
And then when the game came, he just gave it everything. And then all of a sudden, you don't see him for 2-3 days. You understand? Because you have to manage players like that, because he did it when it mattered. So he wouldn't be training on artificial surface, and a lot of players that won't. But again, it's we understand why these teams do have them.
Yeah, and another manager who has been mentioned, an obvious connection given he's a Kilmarnock legend, is Gary Holt, and he does have recent experience of managing a team on a plastic pitch. Not that I'm trying to like fixate on plastic pitches here, but he was a large part of Livingston's success in recent years, and he, like I say, he has a connection with the club, so he's another name who could be in the frame.
Yeah, 100%, know him very well. You know, you've got to remember, I grew up in Kilmarnock, so he is a club legend. Again, he has had success. He knows what the division is all about. He'll have good knowledge, very good knowledge of the players, the powers that be at the club. And you know what? It wouldn't surprise me that he will definitely be one that's interviewed. I like the way that he comes across as well. Very passionate. He's got great knowledge. I know there's question marks over the power that he would probably had at Livingston if he had much say in team selection and the way the team went about business. But I think he wants to be the main man, and I think it's definitely a job that he'll be 100% interested in.
Excellent. Now, let's finish off by just going through some of the listeners' questions. Last year, I asked a couple of people to get in contact with some questions. We didn't use them all, so we're going to go through the ones that were left over. The first, it's actually a couple of questions in here from Laura Gowans, and the first was on the 5-sub rule, whether we should keep it for next year or not. Now, you're going to have to inform me here. In the English Premier League, are they keeping it? Is that something that they're going to keep now, or no, is it a discussion?
The English Premier League, they don't have it.
Oh, they don't have it. Right, there you go. That's how much I pay attention in English Premier League.
It's only in the EFL. So the 72 clubs, Championship and below, they brought it in. The English Premier League, a lot of clubs voted against it because they said it was going to be beneficial for the bigger clubs because they've got
better
quality of depth. So they can bring on players like for like, and they don't really, the smaller clubs don't really want to give any more of an advantage to the bigger clubs.
Right.
And I understand that argument. Again, in this climate, you know, you've got the likes. I remember it was Jurgen Klopp. He was sitting saying, this is a must. It needs to come in, the 5 subs. And then in the next match, he only used 2 subs. So you understand. We understand why there's a need for it. I feel in Scottish football, if the climate stays the same, I think it's a must. I think that it has to stay. I think if the climate changes, you know, and the games aren't coming thick and fast, then it'll go back to normal. But I think if it's definitely going to be just basically making sure that the campaign's started and finished, the games come the way that they do, I think it's important to have, for the managers to have the choice of 5 substitutes as well. It benefits all managers in the fact that you can prepare for any scenario. You understand, but it does benefit the larger clubs, the likes of Rangers, the likes of Celtic, for the fact that they've got probably better quality on the bench, and they can make these substitutions. So again, I do see the argument from both sides, Craig.
Yeah, I think you mentioned something there that I hadn't really thought about too much, to be honest, because I hadn't thought about this this rule and whether it should last too much. But yeah, I think given the period that we're in at the moment, where the games are coming thick and fast, there could be even more fixture pile up towards the end of the season if there's more COVID outbreaks and things like that, and then taking into consideration players having COVID and then recovering from that and
Exactly.
Everybody recovering different from that. So I just think, I think it definitely makes sense to, if we're in this current situation, to keep having five subs. I do agree with that. The second question that Laura sent in was to do with concussion subs. And she says, with the current focus on dementia and ex-footballers, should football look to introduce concussion subs like rugby? Now, I think English Premier League, they're going to trial them, or maybe it's in the FA Cup. And up here, they were talking about doing it in the Scottish Cup, but obviously the Scottish Cup's been delayed as it stands. Well, so, I mean, this is something that I guess you would have thought about yourself, Chris, in terms of increased risk of dementia amongst ex-footballers and things like that. Do you think concussion subs should be introduced?
I think it's a must. I think it has to come in. It has to happen. You know, I understand that they have to try things out to see how fluent it is. But you know what? There is a lot of information and a lot of kind of research done that's pointing that it has to come in. For the fact that these governing bodies are just contemplating it, you know, I think it's going to be implemented in certain competitions next season. I think it needs to be a little bit more rapid than that, a little bit quicker, that the implementation of all these comes in, because it's only going to be beneficial. You know, I work for Wolves TV as well, and I was there when David Luiz and Raul Jimenez came together.
That was a horrible one.
David Luiz actually finished at 16 minutes, and he actually continued to half time in that game, and he should have been taken off, assessed. Now, I was at Wolverhampton Wanderers when Dr. Matt Perry, the club doctor, he's one of the main concussion specialists in the country, and he actually brought in tests for us to do as players. So we would do this in pre-season. So they always had a mark where we had to do the tests that we had to do.
Yeah, like a barometer or something to measure you.
A barometer to measure it. And I just feel that this is where a lot of clubs are at the minute. But still, I just feel that all clubs would benefit from taking the player off, because it's player safety, by the way. You know, that's what it's all about, looking after the player in the best way that they can, take him off, bring on a substitute if it's for 10, 15, 20 minutes, and then if that player's right to come back on, so be it. If he's not, then the substitute's been made, and I just think that'll work. You know, you've got to remember, if it's there in rugby, you know, I know it's definitely a more contact sport, but there is some bad collisions in football, and I feel that we need to be ready for it rather than wait for something really bad to happen. So give the clubs that power that they have, that substitute in place. I think it's only going to benefit the game.
I think there's talk about to prevent it being abused, which the thought of somebody abusing that kind of rule, I mean, it would happen.
You
obviously
have to think about it though, Craig. You have to.
I know, I agree.
There is managers out there to say, you know what, right, it's not really working for us. Yeah, but that's what I'm trying to say. So there has to be, again,
I think what they're planning on doing is allowing the opposition to make a temporary sub at the same time or something like that. And that would apparently, that's their, one of their proposed solutions for stopping it being abused. But I don't know how.
Yeah, well, I guess it makes sense, because trust me, there will be managers out there that will try and take advantage, because it's the small margins. Yeah. If there's anything that can benefit your team, then that's exactly what you do, you know. But it's all about the player safety, and I think that this ruling, if once it comes in, I think it's going to benefit the players, and that's the priority, and that's the important factor of it.
Did you ever have any head knocks yourself that were like as bad as? Oh, I mean, you definitely had some. You were in the air for 90% of your career. But what I'm talking about is like any really bad ones that left you floored for ages. Or I mean, did you sustain many concussions while you were playing?
Well, you see, I've had quite a lot where I remember I played, the ball got smacked off me from about 2 meters at full pelt, and I played for about 20 minutes completely dizzy. You know, it was one of these. Yeah, it's these things, Craig. I've had stitches. I've had stitches down the front of my face because I got studied. I've went and headed the ball, scored the goal, but got studied at the same time. You know that one where you say, "Oh yeah, he's as brave as a lion. He's went there, knowing he's going to get." It's one of them, and it's just, that was a pre-season game. So what am I doing? Why am I? It's a pre-season. I don't get that. You know, you understand. So I've had quite a few knocks. I've broke my cheekbone. I broke my nose with a clash. So again, it's, I've had some really bad knocks, and I just feel that when I broke my nose, again, it was 16 minutes into a live Sky game. I carried on, played the full 90 minutes, actually, and that's one of them that I was told on the bus going home, you know what, try not to sleep tonight, try to stay up for as long as you can, but you still got a 3-4 hour journey on the bus back from Preston back down to London. So you just, I have had a few, and I understand why, but it's taken too long for it to come in. This should, we've been speaking about this for years now. Mm-hmm. You know, we've seen the research. We know that, you know, that dementia and football players, it's definitely there. It's evident. So it needs to happen.
Yeah, I agree. There was the Amanda Coppell. She led a campaign. She was she is the widow of an ex Dundee United player who died of, I think it was dementia a couple of years ago, and she was fighting for rights for something to do with caring being funded before a certain age. I think it was only after a certain age that you got funding for caring for somebody with dementia. It was something along those lines, and she got like a change in the law that there have been various campaigns that have been highlighting this kind of thing for years and years now. We're almost at time. I've just got one quick question to ask you from Duncan Mackay of Duncan and Duncan fame, and he was just asking, what other sports do you enjoy playing and watching?
Well, I'm very good at table tennis.
I never saw that coming.
Mate, unbelievable. Well, we've had table tennis at all the clubs that we've had. There's always been a table tennis table there.
Okay.
So I've got a bit at that. I like going away on holiday, and there's always a wee table tennis comp, and I usually smash that. I remember for the first 6 months when I first got with my missus, she said that she's very good at table tennis. And then we went on our first holiday and there was a table tennis table. And I was so disappointed, and I said that to her. I says, you've built this up. I said to her, if I can record you with my phone as I'm playing you, it means that you're not that good, sweetheart. Okay. But no, table tennis, I like tennis as well. I'm a very strong swimmer. So yeah, I'm quite active. I played for Scotland Schools basketball. So I've got a wee bit, you know, so it's one of them.
Rounded
so
sportsman.
I've always been quite active. So, but there's the ones that I'm not so mobile anymore. So I think table tennis does it for me. I've got a good reach. I've got good movement around the table and things. But no, I put that up there.
What about watching?
You know what? I watch the boxing and UFC. You know, I watch them. It's obviously there's football. It's part and parcel of the job. I don't really watch rugby, no cricket, Formula One. You know, sometimes you can lose a couple of hours, just you're thinking, yeah, you get into it. But I'd probably say more so it's the boxing and UFC that I'll get up at 5 a.m. to kind of take one of the kind of headline fights in.
I know the best ones are always on at rotten times, aren't they?
Oh, terrible, mate. I'm usually up with a little man enemy, so I'm all good.
Anyway, that's us. If any other listeners have questions, or if I've missed any, resend them, send them in, and we'll get to them over the coming weeks. But yeah, that's us. Chris, enjoy your week, and I'll catch you next week.
Pleasure as always, mate. That's me nap time, mate. I'm going to get the little man, put him in his cot, and then bed.
Enjoy your nap.
Absolute pleasure, mate. Thank you.
Cheers.
Podcast Network.